chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. We went to Psalm there a time or two, but we're going to go back to 1 John chapter number 3. We're going to begin reading in verse number 11 tonight, 11 through 16. And I want to talk tonight about the message from the master. The message from the master. You'll get a lot of messages in life, and I do too. They come in different forms. They come in different shapes. Some's written down. Some's by text. Some's by email. There are all kind of ways we get messages tonight. But I thank God tonight that we do have a message in His Bible tonight. I thank God tonight that it's not my Bible, but it's His Bible, and that don't change nothing. Amen? It's His Bible tonight. It's not, I didn't write it. All I do is read it. Amen? If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 11. 1 John 3:11, the Bible says, "For this is the message." There it is. "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death, and whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. I thank you for the free spirit that's in this place, the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray tonight for every prayer request was mentioned. I pray for the family, Father, that lost a three-month-old, Lord God. I lift that family up to you, Father. Lord, I pray for the ones all over the room tonight, the ones that are sick, the ones that had reports. I praise you tonight for Miss Lynetta's praise report. Lord God, I thank you that you are on the throne and you are in the healing business. Lord, I pray tonight that you guard my throat and my thoughts. Let everything we say tonight be about you. I pray that you be elevated, Father. I pray that you increase and I decrease. Lord, I pray tonight that when we walk out of this place and we can say it's been good to be in your house. Father, I love you and I thank you. I praise your holy name. It's in Jesus' name I ask, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The message from the master. As we come tonight and we look at this, I want to look at what is the message tonight. What is the message that we receive tonight from this word tonight? When John wrote this, that we have a message in the Bible, that once we understand this message, once we get a hold of this message, we as believers won't be just floating around like a bottle. I wrote this down. We won't be like a bottle at sea with a message inside hoping to be found. You know, this Bible is not like anything else. It's not hoping to be found. It's already found. Amen? It's already alive and it's already well. And all we have to do is take this message and apply it to our life. But tonight, we can know the message that God has for us. And tonight, I want to look at what is that message tonight that He's trying to tell you and He's trying to tell me tonight. Have you ever had somebody give you a message and they try to hint around and you get it wrong? And you don't know what it meant. I'll never forget one time I was here getting ready for the time for to take up offering, and Brother Billy Rogers and some of the other men was going to take up offering. They was at the back of the church. I had no clue that they had been aggravating Brother Billy at the back of the church, that when he got to the front, I was going to call on him to pray. Me and Brother Billy done had the talk that, "Don't you call on me to pray, preacher." And I said, "Okay." He said, "If I want you to call on me to pray, you'll know that when I want you to call on me to pray." And I said, "Okay." And the men started walking up, and about the time they got to the front, I looked around at who God might lead me to ask to pray. And when I got to Brother Billy, me and him made eye contact, and he went like this right here. He went and gave me that click of the eye, winked at me, and I thought, man, he's ready to pray. He is ready to pray. And as I got up, I said, "Brother Billy, what about leading us in a word of prayer?" He said, "Whoa, what are you talking about?" And I said, and anyway, he prayed and done a wonderful job. And afterwards, he said, "Preacher, I thought I told you don't never call on me to pray." I said, "Well, you winked at me." He said, "You got the wrong message. That is not what that meant." So tonight, what I'm trying to say is, the Word of God tonight, it won't leave you confused. It won't leave you not knowing. When you read the book tonight and you understand what the Word of God says tonight, you'll get a clear meaning of what the book says. So number one tonight, we see in verse number 11, "For this is the message that we heard from the beginning." It hasn't changed. It's been from the beginning. "That we shall love one another." Number one tonight is this. The message is that we have a command to love one another tonight. It's a command that's been given. It's not something that we decide to do or we elect to do, but tonight we must love the brethren. We must love one another tonight. He says in verse number 11, for this is the message. The command was not to tote a Bible and beat people with it when we go to places. The command tonight was not to love church people only, but to love every individual that you and I will come in contact with. The command tonight is to love people. The command was not to judge people, but to love people tonight. The command was to love one another. Turn with me, if you will, tonight to John 13, and he said this is the message which was from the beginning. John chapter number 13 tonight, and I want to show you in verse number 34 and 35 the command to love one another. You know what, tonight I thank God for the people at this church that likes me. I thank God for the people that likes me here as being their pastor, and it does me a lot of good for the people that like me at this church. But I want you to know tonight I can never sustain in what God's called me to do on people that likes me. I tell you tonight, I thank God for the people that love me at this place. Friends, tonight, you know what? You can like somebody today and not like them tomorrow. Hey, but the Bible says tonight that we must love one another. You know what love does? It conquers all things. Love is, he said, love is everything that we need in the world that we live in. And I tell my daughter this all the time, and you listen to me tonight. I tell her, I said, when you try to find you a young man that you're going to marry and you think he loves you, hey, he'll hug you up, he'll love you up right now. Hey, but you don't look how he treats you. You look how he treats everybody else. You look how he treats the old people. You look how he treats people that is less fortunate than he is. You look how he treats everybody else, and that'll end up how he'll treat you. Friends, tonight I want you to know it's easy to love somebody that loves you, but the Bible says tonight I'm talking about loving people no matter who they are, what they are, what they look like, what they smell like, what they talk like, that you love them people. And when you do that, everybody will know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. He says tonight in John chapter number 13 and verse number 34, look what the Bible says. And Jesus told his disciples a new commandment. He said, it's a new commandment that I give you. He said, you should have done known it, but I'm going to let you know it. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Amen? That ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And look by this in 35. He said, if you have love for one another, guess what? He says, by this shall all men know. What are they going to know, preacher? What are they going to know when they see me loving somebody that's not lovable? What are they going to see when I love that person that don't look like me or act like me? What are they going to know, preacher? They're going to know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know what a disciple does? He don't walk around with his nose up there. Amen? He don't walk around thinking he's better than everybody. He don't put himself up here, but he humbles himself. And I love this. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. He said, if you love one another, all men will know this. I want you to know this tonight. The command to love others is a great command in our life. The story's told about a bunch of little girls. It was about 18-year-old, 19-year-old, and they went out on the town. And as the night went on and it got later, they had done left some of their other friends, and they said, come on, we're going to go to a party. And they'll be partying there, and they'll be drinking beer, and they'll be having a good time. And this one little church girl, she was amongst them other girls, and here's what she told them. She said, I can't do that. I got to go home. And they say, why? You afraid your daddy's going to hurt you? And the little girl said, no, I'm afraid I'll hurt my daddy. Hey, that's true love. Amen. It's not that what my daddy will do to me, but it's the hurt that I'll give to my daddy. Friends, tonight, what I'm trying to say is there's somebody that loves you like never before, and his name is God Almighty. Amen. He loves you. And when I get a hold of that tonight and I understand that that love lives inside of me, I don't want to hurt nobody. Do you? Man, I don't want to hurt nobody, especially my father. He says tonight in the text, when we go back there, verse number 11, he says, the command to love one another. We're commanded to love one another. But I want to show you something else as we look into the text. He says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. You know, he slew his brother Abel. Cain slew Abel. Why did he do that? Why did Cain slew Abel? Because he was jealous. Hey, Abel hadn't done nothing wrong. He hadn't done nothing wrong. He'd done what God told him to do, but his brother was envious, and he was mad, and he had bitterness, and he had anger. You know what'll kill a church quicker than anything? When church members, people that say they're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, when they get bitter to one another, they get angry at one another, they get backbiting one another, it ain't long that church it'll split, it'll divide wide open. Friends, I want you to know tonight, there will not never be bitterness at Union Chapel Baptist Church. I can't talk about the church down the road. I don't know what goes on down there, but I'm talking about the group that I pastor here. They should never be bitterness. They should never be backbiting. They should never be none of that. You know what should happen when we come to this place? We should just love one another. Amen? We should love one another from all over. Just love one another. He says tonight, look at this, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's was righteous. He said he got mad at him because his brother was just doing what was right. And I want to give you this, the second thing. The first thing of the message is you're commanded to love others. But I want to give you this tonight. There's a caution here about being hated. One, we have a command, but then he gives you a caution. He says when you love people, not everybody's going to love you. Did you know tonight everybody don't love you? Did you know tonight everybody don't like you? I hope I didn't hurt nobody's feelings with this tonight. But everybody don't love you. Everybody don't love me. Everybody don't like me. Everybody don't love me. But you know what tonight? That don't mean I can't love them back. It don't mean I can't like them back. It can't mean that I can't be kind to them, that I can't be nice to them. I've got to be. And tonight I want you to know when you get to that place in your life and you say, I don't care what that person thinks about me, I'm going to love them with the love of Jesus Christ. You know what that'll do? That'll bring up something in their life. It'll root that bitterness up and it'll come alive in their life. Look what the Bible says in verse number 13, the caution about being hated. He said when you're born again, you've got a command to love people. But when you start doing what God's called you to do, there's going to be people that don't like you. They're going to be that way. You do what God's called you to do, and there'll be people who don't like you for doing what God's called you to do. Look what he says. Marvel not. That means don't. Hey, caution. Caution. Marvel not. Don't be blown away by this. Hey, tonight, if you say, preacher, I want you to know, I try to do what's right, but it seems every time I do what's right, somebody don't like it. Hey, it's okay. That's normal. That's normal business. Amen? That's normal. Look what he says. Marvel not, my brethren. He said, brother, marvel not if the world hates you. If the world hates you, don't you marvel about that. Don't you get upset tonight. He said, because this tonight, if you are living a Christian life, I wrote this down. If you are living a Christian life, and I want to ask you now, are you living that Christian life? Or as you answer that question on your own, are you living that Christian life? And if you're living that Christian life, everybody's not going to like you and everybody's not going to love you because there's a difference inside of you and you can't do what the world does. And when the world does what they do, you're going to show them love, but you're not going to give in and do what they do. Amen? Let me show you this tonight. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 12. We're talking about a caution about being hated. And tonight, when you got saved, I'm going to be honest tonight, Brother Harold. I'm going to be honest. When I got saved, man, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I was on fire, man. I'm just ready to go. And I thought when I got saved that everybody was going to love me. Everybody was going to be receptive to the message that I preached. Everybody was going to be on the bandwagon. Everybody was going to get on board. Everybody was just going to be a good time. Hello. Then I woke up. And I realized that I didn't join a babysitting club. I enlisted as a soldier in the army of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you've ever been a soldier, I've not been one in the world we live in, but I've been one for Jesus Christ, and I am one right now. And when you become a soldier, it becomes a fight. It becomes a fight just to do what's right. And tonight, the message that he's given us is this, that you love one another, but don't be offended when they don't love you back. Look at this tonight in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 12, the Bible says. Look at this tonight, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 12. I'm talking about a caution about being hated. If tonight, if everybody loves you and everywhere you go, everybody gets along with you and everything's fine, you may not be living the Christian life you're supposed to live. If you can go back around the same old group, the same old boys, the same old fun, the same old things, and there's no controversy, you may not be what you need to be. If you're being what you need to be for Christ Jesus, there's going to be some hatred that comes your way. Let me give you this tonight. 2 Timothy 3:12, the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. All. Not one. It happens to all of us. To all that live godly in Christ Jesus. See, I can't live godly outside of Christ Jesus. Outside of Christ Jesus, I can't live godly.
I've got to stay in tune with Him. I've got to stay tuned up. I've got to stay where He'd have me to stay. I've got to stay in my Bible. I've got to stay that way. Now, I'm not talking about for salvation. I'm talking about for sanctification, to be set apart. And He said, all that live will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He said, every one of us that lives that godly life, we will suffer persecution. And He cautions us about being hated that way. Let me give you this tonight. If you'll turn with me to John chapter number 15 and verse number 18 tonight, we're talking about caution about being hated. He said the message is your command to love people. But when you get to that place in your life and you start loving people, I want you to know tonight that there's going to be some that's not going to like the way you love them. You ever been nice to somebody and it didn't do a bit of good? I mean, you're just nice you can be. See them out and about, you buy the dinner. You try to love them up the best of your ability, and they put those stink eye on you. Y'all know what that is? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And they snarl that old nose up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When you walk in the room. I got this one lady. Hey, I've put my foot in my mouth in this pulpit too many times. But I got this one lady, and I know it's being recorded, but I got this one lady. I don't care where I go. She don't go to church here. She's never heard me preach that I know of. Never done nothing to her that I can think of. But I can walk by her and I say, ma'am, you having a good day? And she'll roll her eyes at me and turn her back to me and walk the other way. And I asked my wife one day, I said, what have I done to that woman? She said, quit being friendly to her. Huh? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And you know what? Every time I walk by her, I want her to... Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. I want her to know that I love her. And if I've done something to offend her, I want to make it right. I didn't mean to, right? But I've got to understand something, that when I'm living my life for Christ Jesus, number one, I'm a conviction. I'm a walking conviction. When you're living under the power of the Holy Ghost, number one, you're a walking conviction. When you're living under the power of the Holy Ghost and you walk in where people are not living for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, number one, you're a Holy Ghost conviction. When you walk in, you put them people under conviction. You don't mean to, but the Holy Ghost that lives in you, you've put them under conviction. When you walk into their presence, because the Holy Ghost lives on you, and all you're talking is Jesus, and all you're doing is loving Jesus, when you walk in, you're putting the Holy Ghost conviction on them, and you don't mean to. And when you walk in that room, not only is that conviction comes on them, but I want you to know at that moment they get under something in their life, and it's called regret, because they're not where they need to be with Christ Jesus. And instead of getting right, they take it out on you. Instead of getting right, they look down on you. Instead of getting right, they want to come at you at it. And the Bible speaks that there's going to be persecution for everyone that lives for Christ Jesus. Let me show you this in John 15. He says when you get there, and I want to go on. I don't want to stop right there. Let me show you this, John 15 and 18. He said when you get to that place in your life, you're going to be cautious. You're going to be hated, but just get over it. Just get over it. Shake it off, get over it, and go on. If the world hates you, 15 and 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you can get along with everything in the world that's going on, we're in trouble as a church. We ought to be different. We ought to stick out. We ought to stand out. Let me give you this tonight. That is hatred, okay? But when we are what we're supposed to be, not only do we produce conviction, but we produce irritation. When you get around people, you irritate them with the Word of God. You don't mean to. It's just who you are. When there's been a difference inside of you, it's irritation. And there's guilt that the world can't get over, because they don't know who lives inside of you. Let me share it with you tonight when we go back to the text. Man, I'm telling you, he said this is the message from the Master. Message from the Master, John said. He said, number one, you got to command to love others. When you do, I want to caution you that you're going to be hated for living for Christ Jesus. But number three, you ought to enjoy the change that is in you. I thank God that my old buddies don't call me up, want me to run with them. If they call me up tomorrow and say, man, we got it going on, won't you come on over here? I ain't doing what I'm supposed to do. If they think they got the, listen to me, come on now. If they think they got the freedom to pick up the phone and call me and say, hey man, you want some of this? Y'all know what I'm talking about. That means I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be. If they're comfortable enough to call me and ask me to do something that I used to do, that means I'm not being what I need to be for Christ Jesus. He says, though, you enjoy the change that's in your life. You enjoy that change. Look what he says here in verse number 14 of the text. He said, you enjoy that change that's in your life. Are you glad to be saved tonight? Man, a change. There is a change in your life. 1 John 3:14. Look at this. Here's the change. Enjoy the change. Do you enjoy the change? Man, you're talking about sleeping. Last night, 10 o'clock, Brandy woke me up and said, it's time to go to bed. Been asleep since about 8:30. Sleeping like a baby. Got up, went to bed, slept to 4:15. The little man got up, slept like a baby. Listen to me, before I was born again, I didn't sleep that way. I tossed, I turned, no comfort, no rest, no peace. Worried about what tomorrow holds, worried about the money, if it's going to be there, worried about this, worried about the police is going to knock, worried about if Kevin Williams, the sheriff of Marion County, is going to knock on my door again. Let me talk to you tonight. Come on now. I worried about that every day of my life. Is that drug test going to be the one that gets me if they call me today and I get hemmed up in that court system? Is today going to be that day? And I want you to know when I got saved, there was a change in my life. And I thank God tonight that he's commanding me to love people. But he says when you change, not everybody's going to love you, but you can enjoy that change in your life, because you don't have to be like everybody else. All you've called to be is you, full of Jesus. And if the world don't see Jesus in you, he's not in you. Amen. If they don't see him in you, he's not in you, folks. And you must enjoy that change. Look at verse 14. We know, man, you ain't got to say, do you think I'm saved, preacher? Preacher, you think I'm saved? Preacher, you think I'm going to go to heaven? You can know it. You know if you're going to heaven, and I know if I'm going to heaven, because the Bible tells us how to know. We know that we have passed from death unto life. He says, we know. You know. There's been a change, man, I'm telling you. The command that he gives me is not grievous. The caution that people's not going to like it, it ain't grievous. But man, the change is a blessing. Woo, glory. Look what he says. We know. There's a lot of things I don't know. There's one thing I know. That I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Saved. Heaven bound, amen. Ain't going to hell no more. Heaven bound. We know, man, we know that we have passed from death unto life. I don't know about you, but if I was at Ox Funeral Home laying in a casket, or Norwood's, either one, if I was laying in that casket and I come up out of there, I've went from death to life. You said that's impossible, preacher. You listen to me tonight. If you're born again tonight, that's how dead you was. That's how dead you was in your sins. Dead. And when Jesus saved you, you become alive. You come up out of that casket, you come up out of that grave, you come up out of that ground, and he set a light inside of you for the whole world to see. He says that we know that we have passed from death unto life because, here's how we know it, because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. Love him. Man, you just... If you'll listen around here, and next time, just don't say nothing, just listen. To men and women when they pass one another in the church, just listen. Say, I love you, brother. Love you, too. Love you, brother. Love you, too. I was at Danny Dillard's one day getting a part for Lawnmower. Mark Madison walked in. And I said, love you, brother, man. I'll see you. Gene Cantrell was alive at that time, and he was walking out. He said, come here, I'll talk to you. I said, yeah, what's up, man? He said, I didn't know your mama had two boys. I thought she just had one. I said, this is the time to tell it, amen? I said, oh, no, he's not my physical brother. He's my spiritual brother. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're brothers. And Gene said, well, I guess that makes you my brother too, don't it? Because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Tonight, enjoy the change that's in your life. Look what he says here. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's what the book says. I can't stand that person. Be careful. Be careful. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Love the brethren. Let me give you what the brethren don't do. And if this happens, you make sure that person this is going on with is a brother. Can I get deep with you tonight? Can I get deep just a minute? Personal life. Let me just get right here on it. If this is going on with somebody, you make sure they're your brother. You make sure they're your sister. Love the brethren. Brethren, this is what brethren don't do. Brethren, they don't fuss. Brethren don't fuss. They don't. Brethren don't fuss. Brethren may have a disagreement, but they don't fuss about it. They talk about it. They don't get mad and one storm off one way and one storm off another, and they don't talk for 4 or 5 years, 10 years, and they don't go out to eat, and they can't even, when they walk in a restaurant, they can't talk to one another. Can I get a witness tonight? Brethren don't do that. True brethren work it out. Woo! Brethren don't fight amongst one another. I ain't got time to fight against you. There's an enemy out there, and he's Satan. If I use all my energy fighting against you and you fight against me, I'm going to be wore out when I get to where he's at. That's what he wants us to do. He wants me and you to fuss and fight, and he wants us to do that. Chaos and confusion. If it's confusion, it's not of God. Brothers don't fight. Brothers don't fuss. And brothers don't feud with one another. They don't do it. Brother got a problem with another brother. You know what the Bible says? You got an ought with a brother. You know what you do? You go to him. You don't go to the other brother or go behind another brother's back. You go to that brother. And you handle the problem because you're commanded to love one another. Amen? Let me give you this tonight. The message from the master, the command, is to love. The caution is about being hated, and he wants you to enjoy the change that is in your life. So, and you say, preacher, tonight I've been changed. Well, you're going to have to embrace the challenge that he's given us. There's a challenge. Look in verse number 16 tonight. You're going to have to embrace the challenge that he's given you as a Christian. Everybody wants God's promises, but nobody wants to go through the process. If you don't go through the process, you'll never get the promise. Everything that you do takes time. Everything you do, if it's worth it, it takes time. Brother Roy Parker smokes ribs, and they are wonderful ribs. And I said, man, I can do that. There ain't nothing to it. Bought me a smoker, bought me ribs, built the fire, put it on the smoker. 3 hours in, I checked the temperature, we ain't at temp. 4 hours in, we ain't where we need to be. 5 hours in, we ain't where we need to be. I'm like, my goodness, how's them things so good? I know it. You know why? Because it takes time. It takes time. It takes time. Anything good in your life takes time. And he said the challenge that you've been given is it's going to take time to work through what God's called you to do. But you make sure you don't want it so quick that you forget about the process that you got to go through. You say, well, God, I want all the promises God give me. We got process to go through. We got things to go through in our life. There's things that we go through. Me and my wife's been married 22 years. Is that right? 22 years. Amen. 22 years. And it's been a process. She ain't going to say nothing. She's going to grin. I get him when I get home. It's been a process. First 3 years, it was not a cakewalk. To the young couples in the house, to the old couples in the house, it takes time. It takes time. Marriage starts off good, it'll go rocky. It'll go bad rocky. It'll go bad low if you ain't careful. And it'll go even lower. But time. Time. 22 years later, it's a blessing. Because it's took time. It's a challenge. He said, I want you to embrace this challenge. And in verse number 16, here's what the challenge is. He said, I want you to embrace that challenge. You got a command. I've cautioned you that everybody's not going to love you. I've told you that. I want you to enjoy the change. But just because you're saved, it's a challenge. Anybody ever tells you that getting saved, it's a cakewalk and you've got it made and don't worry about it, they lied to you. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to love people that didn't love you. It's a challenge to love people who stuck a knife in your back. And you know they did it. Left the phone on, didn't cut it off, and ate you up one side and down the other, supposed to hit the end button. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but you know what I'm talking about. You've had it done to you. Text messages sent about you that wasn't supposed to go to you, but it got hung up in the messages somehow, and it come to your phone. Or somebody screenshot it and sent it to you, and you thought the one that loved you, they done stuck a knife slapping you back. Am I talking to anybody tonight? I hope I am. He said it's a challenge to love them people. What do you do? Just write them off, forget about them? Oh, no. No, no, you don't write them off, forget about them. You love them. You love them. See, preacher, it's hard. That's why it's a challenge. That's why it's a challenge. Let me show you this tonight. He said, I want you to embrace this challenge that's in your life. Look what he says. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I want to stop right here and I want to explain to you what hereby perceive means. Hereby perceive means to perceive is to take knowledge of something through your senses. To take or be aware of the love that God has for you through your senses. You know what your senses is, one sight. You can read the book and you see what God has done for you and how he's loved you, and that's how we were to love the brethren. One's by touch. Have you ever felt the touch of God on your life? You felt his touch. I was standing there talking to Sister Caitlin Markham before church. Cagle before church. And I said, "Woo, man, Holy Ghost. I felt him touch me. You can just see it goose down me. Man, it's 100 degrees outside. I ain't got no need to have chill bumps. I mean, it is cooling here, but it ain't, you know, I'm burning up anyway. That right, Sister Judy? She's freezing dead. We burning up. So why I got goosebumps? Felt his touch. Felt his touch. He said that we may perceive we the love of God. Through our sight, we see it. Through the touch that he touches us. Through the smell. Through the smell. Through the taste. The Bible says, taste and see that God's good. And I love this sense. Through the hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You'll never love the brethren if you quit hearing the word of God. You see, when you get to that place, you say, "Man, I don't know if I can love anymore, preacher." But you read your Bible and you stay with it. And the message from the master says, love the brethren. Love the brethren. I wrote this down. I thank God for his command and how he cautions us because of the change inside of us that allows us to embrace the challenge. Rely on the message from the master. Hereby, that means this is what we need. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I always like to tell a little something funny before we leave out. Amen. Last night, we was at home, and I'm not a DIY man at all. We do a little bit, but not a whole lot. My wife was in the kitchen, and I'm in there hanging a ceiling fan, Brother Jerry. Hanging that ceiling fan. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm getting it all put together. It says on the box, like 30 minutes. We done 2.5 hours in, you know? Whoever wrote that down lied. And, you know, but anyway, and she said, the kids are on their way back to the house. And she said, it's going to be funny. And I thought, what in the world has she done? I'm busy. I ain't got time to be playing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And they come in, and David's boy is dating my daughter. And when they come in, he's white as a ghost. I mean, solid white. And when they come in the house, Kaylee's like, she's in the kitchen. She says, "Daddy, what's wrong?" And I'm like, and I got my glasses on down here, you know, and I got my light on top of my hat trying to read the instructions. You know what I'm talking about? And I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Mama sent us a text." I said, "What's she send you?" Said, "For us to come back by now, that you and her need to talk to us now." And now she's done told me to go along with it. And I was like, whatever she said. You see, that's the message you got. When they walk in the kitchen, David's son, Kyler, says, "Ma'am?" He ain't called her ma'am in 6 months. "Ma'am? Dude, what are you doing? You're supposed to be respecting me. What? You scared of that woman? She ain't my 5'1". Here you are, 6 foot tall. She ain't 5'1". Walk right past me like it ain't nothing." He says, "Ma'am." She ain't said nothing. He says, "Have I done something wrong?" And she said, "No. I just fixed you some Nana pudding. Was going to give it to you." He said, "Don't you ever do that again. Where's the ma'am at? Don't you ever do that again." She had no clue that I was preaching tonight on the message from the master. Every message you get, don't you interpret it the way you get it. When you get a message and you say, "Oh, they're being ill, they're being smart, they're being this, they're being that, they don't like me no more, they ain't responding to me," or don't go by that. That's a Satan. You listen to me now. Don't you go by that. Don't you go by that tonight. You go by that book tonight. And you love the brethren. You love people. You've got a command on your life. You've been cautioned tonight. He says, "I want you to know you've been changed." And you're going to have to accept that challenge to love people. And that's the hardest thing in the world to do, is love people. that don't love you. But I'd hate to know I snubbed somebody. Y'all know what that is? When you snub them. And then got to heaven and my mansion was right next door to them. And that woman I told y'all about to start with, I ain't named no name. I get in trouble with this all the time, by the way. I wouldn't doubt if mine and her mansion ain't door to door. Y'all got people like that. Come on now. If you ain't, you probably will tomorrow. Father, I love you and I thank you. Lord God, I thank you that the message is clear tonight. There's no distortion. Father, it's simple. It's something we all struggle with. Father, there's not a person in this room that's not hiding something. There's not one person on the sound of my voice that's not hiding something tonight. Lord God, we all go about our lives with things hid. We hide it not to hurt the next person. We hide it not to hurt ourselves. And Father, tonight all you've asked us to do is confess it. Take that command that you've given us and to love people. And Lord, tonight we may have been hurt. Some of these folks may have been hurt before. And they're hiding something deep down in that heart that they need to say, Lord, I'm going to let that go. And I'm just going to love people. Lord, I pray tonight that this message touched somebody. And Lord, tonight if they got an alt with somebody, that tonight that they just let it go. And they start loving people the way that you have loved us. Lord, I pray tonight that I get that way in my life. I just let it go and love people the way that you have loved me. Bless this service tonight. Watch over these folks. We ask it in Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen. Amen. Here's what we're going to do right quick. I'm fixing to, if they don't open